so I gave you a book. You use it however you want.
Because it's still going to be a challenge. That's why it's down to 81%. Mm. Did you close everything down?
Yeah.
Okay. At least a 65, it may be bigger. So, one of the things you ought to pack in your backpack, a Samsung remote, LG remote, Vizio remote.
I had fun. Fraternity when I had a remote.
Yeah, I know. You told me.
Well, I just like telling
them. Oh, okay.
Because the guy was, he was kind of always bullying me. And, you know they go from far.
Okay.
Of course, the questions there are always different. Carl's
parents. They call guys Karens too.
Oh.
Like one of Elon's nicknames is Space Karen.
So what I do, I got the Mac machine. And of course I'm at that machine.
Right.
I'm probably
not going to go.
Ripe old age if I don't give a fuck. Your mom was like that. It's like everybody when they hit 50 or something like that, they hit that. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Your mom started when she turned like 50 or 60, and she just chilled out more, and it was kind of enjoyable. And the funny thing is that's when people started liking her more.
I didn't notice that. I just noticed that she just went from work to bed, you know.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, no. Not real.
I have some already.
Oh, you made some up. I know.
About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw another pin on the back.
We'll do a couple introductions. I'll give the lay of the land, what tonight's going to look like, and then we'll go from there. First, my name is Lindsay Mosier. I am the communications manager. My name is Bobby Voices. I've got some members Ted here with us tonight. Our director of training and development services, Tim Keating, and then Nina. So we have a short presentation, just about 10 minutes to get through. So a little recap of some of the changes that we've made over the past 3 years and really in the city council a lot of text, so I have an extra copy in case you want one to look at, as Tim references that. And then we'll open up for Q&A. The focus of tonight's conversation is really to talk about implementation. The code has been passed, city has been working through that. A lot of steps to come here for us still, but really questions about what does the implementation look like, any questions specific we're having during that time as well. So without that, I will kick it over to Tim. I'll make sure we have a copy of this.
It's a reference to keep you from getting bored.
First of all, you may know this, but this year, the process to create the new zoning ordinance started with an application we made to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, public hearings in April. We had a week of public hearings in April before the Planning and Zoning Commission. Many residents and voices spoke. I forget how many, it was a tremendous number. I mean, it was 20 hours of public hearing. And then the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended unanimously in favor of the new ordinance. It then went to City Council. Their recommendation goes to City Council, went to City Council in June. They had another week of public hearing, so another 20 hours or so. Lots of public debate, opinions of many types were expressed over those 20 hours, if you can imagine. And Council ultimately voted unanimously to approve the new ordinance. They set an effective date for the new ordinance of December 1st. The reason they set that date was because we knew it would take time to prepare to implement. You know, we couldn't adopt it in June and say, okay, turn on the lights tomorrow. You know, there had to be preparation and I'll explain that a little bit. So that's why the December 1st date, to give us time to get started and get ready to implement. And we went to City Council last night with some just cleanup stuff to the ordinance, so we're ready to go on December 1st. They set the December 1st effective date. We will return to City. One thing that we said to City Council, which is very intentional, is that we haven't had a zoning ordinance written for the city since 1966. So So this is not a frequent endeavor. For any city, it's not a frequent endeavor. It doesn't happen often. It's decades between these kinds of adoptions. And so think about 1966, very different time in Boise's history, a time when cities in this country were creating zoning rules around what we've come to see, something we call sprawl, suburban development, is what we've encoded in the 1970s. We weren't really experts in that at the time, but we became experts in it. Now, you know, 60 years later, we've created a new set of rules. We have to be mindful that we think that these are really related to that the structure of this is ideal for Boise because it's based on the physical characteristics of the city, but there will be very detailed technical aspects of it that we know we'll have to keep working on and make better. And so we will go back to council in a year on December 1st, 2024 with our first report on that we think are needed after living with this and working with it for a year. And then in association with that, we'll give a written quarterly report to City Council throughout 2024. So we start on December 1st, but in each quarter of 2024, we'll go to Council with a report on how it's going. We'll be measuring the processes. We've got a dashboard we've prepared for Council. And we want to continue outreach to the community. So next year, during 2024, as we're now working with this new ordinance, we want to continue to hear from neighborhoods and people in the city. How do you think this is going? You know, what are you feeling about the implementation? And with customers, people that are using the ordinance, how does that work for customers? So there'll be a lot of continued outreach in 2024. The goals, just quickly, as a city, this really started with Blueprint Boise in 2011. That's the city's comprehensive plan, but really, really important goal for the city, create a house of these rules, the first one since 1966, you need to make sure we're enabling a variety of housing options in the city, that we're creating a development pattern that is less water and energy consumptive, is number two. Number three is that more Boise residents have a variety of ways to get around the city, recognizing that if we just design for highways and driving, we're doomed. We need to make sure more and more people will all drive, but I mean, we need options, and that's essential. And the fourth thing is that we have a development pattern that we as residents of the city can afford, because we have to then provide services to the development that happens and be protective of that in the sense of what can we as a city afford. So the basic structure of this ordinance, that we have to do with
or we are going to report to you, and it's happening very
combination of things, but essentially it's commercial zone, which is essentially what's highlighted on this map, and I'll get to what each of these are. We created these mixed use zones for these commercial areas, and that's downtown. Downtown is zoned commercially now, something called C5. We're extending the downtown zoning. It's not going to be called MX5. It's downtown, but that includes now the shoreline district, which still had the old 1966 suburban remnant zoning. So we're extending the MX5 to that area and also to the Lux district, which is across the border from Capitol. And this is the densest, tallest. There's no height limitation. There's no density limitation downtown. We're actually eliminating the parking requirements. There are the parking requirements off street now downtown to the overlay district. We're eliminating all that. So district. We're creating something called the Transforming District, which is MX4. The only place we're applying this district initially is to these locations on State Street. The reason for that is the city and the region have been planning for better and better transit service on State Street, and in that process have identified these four locations as major stops. So here you'd have also denser pedestrian design, transit-oriented development. These four locations, no reason we couldn't expand that MX4 to other places. We as a community, three corridors. It's State Street between those 15-minute frequency, and where the, we expect to improve that frequency and service in the future. So that's why those three cores, and then activity centers, which were identified in the comprehensive plan as places that we want to encourage kind of mixed use, you know, development. This is a small area out by the Spectrum on Overland Drive, kind of older commercial stuff that is pretty low density in the sense that it's retail mostly, and then surface parking, a lot of it. So NX3 is an important district, but it's for those locations, those three corridors, and then the activity center. On the three corridors, right behind the NX3, which is the mixed use, these are places we feel that the city needs density. It's not only helpful, it's necessary to have success. Right behind those, we also have a MX1, which is for neighborhood mixed use. So this is door building. It's more like this is on the bench here, of course, but you know, a Hyde Park type environment where you've got one, two story type buildings, maybe three. Retail, it's in a neighborhood, so there's some of that all over the city. We added this provision in the R1 district. Section, we created these incentives around the housing diversity part, which is related to R1 district. And I want to make note of two things. Some additional units, but they've got to achieve some community sustainability standards have to do with to be less consumptive. The affordability standards are laid out in the ordinance. Then there's strategic infill, which you get four units on that lot. You can do happening on December 1st is that we have a new kind of zoning map that applies to the city, because all those commercial properties that we have now that are some things like C1 or C2 are all going to be these MX zones that I laid out for you. And then on the R zones, R1, all the R zones, you know, there's these new regs associated with them. So this new conversion map that we have it on our website. You can put in your address and see what you are today and what you'll be in Germany. This will go effective on December 1st. Now let's shift into the process. One thing to remember is that when it comes to a zoning ordinance, there's some degree of complexity associated with this. We're 86 square miles as a city. We are a small community adding another house, but as big as somebody building a 30-story building. So there's some complexity to it. And the begin to try to find you the way we came up with was to create this menu of approvals that we will, that anybody in Boise would need from us, and put them into these four types. And the differentiation is that with types one and two for entitlement, which for zoning approval, it doesn't require a public hearing process. It's administrative review. You know, that it's a staff level review for one and two. Types three and four do require public hearings for entitlement and or zoning approval, and it could be with just the Planning and Zoning Commission, or it could all go all the way to City Council. So here's the menu of things under each of those types that applies, and the way it was organized the way it is that, again, we aren't rewriting our zoning ordinance 6 years later just to figure out how to have more arguments. We're really trying to figure out how to make the things that we want and need simpler to accomplish, which is a life's work. I mean, we're still going to need to keep working this. But under this system, that's why under type two, you'll see things like the duplex, triplex, fourplex, or an accessory dwelling, or something new called allowed use, allowed form. You see it there at the bottom of type two. And in type three, you'll see something called somewhere else. Allowed use alternative form in the middle. I think Lindsay may have a handout of this for you. No? Okay. Sorry, we can turn this in. But allowed use allowed form is an interesting addition here. So I'm gonna speak to the NX3 as an example of this. Do we have a slide as an example? Maybe not. No. So I can explain it though. I mentioned these MX3 corridors, State, Vista, Fairview, where we feel strongly we not only want but need more density, because for transit to be successful, cities have proven 100% of the time you need people walking to transit. That's essential. You don't, you're Atlanta. Let me introduce you to Atlanta. So you gotta have that. And so allowed use allowed form in the MX3 case, what we said is, if you're building tall and densely on these MX3 corridors, you're allowed use allowed form, which means you have administrative authority to proceed. If you're not, then you have to go to a public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission and explain why you're not. Like, so you're going to have to show us why you can't build more densely on these locations. So that's where that spirit is. We've got the differentiation between what's allowed use allowed form versus allowed use alternative form, and that's the break between type 2 and 3, where you go from administrative approval to a hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission. With regard to notifications, these are for the types, and this has to do with, if you as a resident of the city, how are you going to know what's going on? And I'll speak to this a little bit later, this development tracker, but we've developed this tool which will give everybody way more visibility on what development is going on in the city. And I'll explain that in a minute. But the first thing I'll mention about this chart is that you'll see on the far left that everything type 2 through 4 will all go on the development tracker. The reason type 1 doesn't is we're talking tiny things here, like things where people are getting permits today. It's not something that there's some lead time on for type 1. I'll also note that, except for the type 1, which we are going to be done today, transmittal to neighborhood associations and agencies, you see in the middle there, you'll see a notification to them in every case. So, you know, in those type 2 allowed use, allowed form type cases that I mentioned, all these things are going on. So I'll point that out. The next thing is that even in the type 2 cases, administrative review, when we're approving something, we do notify the adjacent property of that approval that we made. And the reason for that is that if you have a lot next to you that type 2, so it's an administrative approval, we wouldn't be having it here. You will get a mail notification of that, and you'll be let know. We'll let you know that you can actually appeal that decision if you don't like it or have questions about it. You can appeal it. The appeal will be to something called the hearing, which I might have a slide on. But we're adding back something that the city used to have. This is someone that hears cases like that, hears a variance case, or hears an appeal. So in the case of an appeal, if you want to make an appeal on a type 2 because you've been notified and you have a question about it or somehow there's an issue with it, you would go to a hearing examiner. They have a regular meeting. It's like a public hearing. They're taking evidence from neighbors or partners. They're taking evidence from the town. They're taking evidence from the city. And then they render a decision on the appeal. So anyway, this is the process, and don't judge us on this graphic yet. Just sit with it for a minute. It's not as complex as it might look at first. So you start on the top left, and the reality is relatively simple type 2.
Beer drone.
What you're doing is you're just, all you do is you're here, and then there's a kind of an off ramp. So once you're through that top line, you're done, so you go do your thing. The applications that go all the way to the bottom, which isn't that far. But the ones that make it all the way to the bottom are the ones that are going to hear. So that's a type 3 or 4 where you're at least going to plan. You could be going to planning and zoning commission. It could be a design review commission case, just for design. It could be a historic preservation case, but those are the ones that are coming down to the hearing. There is a hearing.
I'm trying to rob a guy and he shot him with gasoline.
One thing I'll note about this is that make note of is we, because you'll have this, there's the type 2 A applications and then there's the type 2 B applications. And the reason for that is there's some of the type 2, allowed you to have forms, which is type 2. You can have those cases though that are pretty significant developments. So you can imagine on Fairview Avenue, let's say, for example, somebody takes one of the auto dealership. And they redevelop it into some of these projects. There's multiple buildings, 70-foot buildings with apartments, retail, you know. That's a pretty in-depth thing that's going to involve ATP, apartments, maybe even ITD, depending on what street it's on, all this kind of stuff. So it requires some coordination. So in the type 2B case, once you're finished on that top line and you've gone through a concept review, you're ready to, you know, have your design pretty much wrapped up. You're going to have to jump to the interdepartmental review, which is a new thing to the city. Interdepartmental review is a regular, we just hired someone to run that operation, and they're going to have a regular meeting where they're so it is ATHD. It is CCDC in some cases, downtown, or ITD. It's not just the planning department, but the public works department, and maybe even parks in some cases. So we all have visibility on the plan and can make adjustments before they apply. Because right now what happens is basically someone that's building a pretty significant thing, project almost to where they're ready to go, and then they apply. So they're like, okay, where's my permit? You know, once they apply, and no one's even seen it necessarily. So it's like, well, wait a minute. We've got lots of issues to deal with here, and it creates lots of frustration and uncertainty around how long is this process going to take. Before you make a decision, so we all know, you know, what are the issues that are transportation related, or pathway related, or stormwater, or trees, or whatever it happens to be, that we're incorporating that into the design. So when you apply, you have a much more thought through, well thought through, we think it will result in better design projects. Just to take some getting used to from applicants and developers who are used to the way it works now. So it's going to require a lot more kind of collaboration early in order to be ready to apply. So that's that one. Other updates, the new code is effective December 1st. The website, which I'll show you a screenshot of in a minute, the planning department's website being redesigned completely by the city, by Lindsay's office, it will go live on December 4th. So December 1st is a Friday. The new code will apply. We'll obviously be open and take questions and be ready to show people how to navigate everything. The website will really be live on Monday the 4th. The old code and new code will be on the website for a while, certainly months. We'll get into the transition between the codes in just a minute. Acela, which is our technical software that we use to process permits, is being reconfigured to work with the new process. These are a couple screenshots of our website, which you won't care about. But the point really is that the website right now really hasn't been touched in how long? So this is going to be a kind of revamp that ties the website completely to the new process we're in. So it's going to be a lot more helpful, and it'll be much more intuitive, less clicks to get to what you need, all that stuff. This is the development tracker. I mentioned before that you'll have a lot better visibility on what's happening in the city, and we talked about this during the public hearings on the zoning, but it's gotten much better. Not that it wasn't good then, but it's gotten much better because it's a system that pretty much anybody can navigate. And you can see on the left there, you know, when you're in a certain part of the city, so I'm in Barber Valley, there, I can sign up to get new applications that have been. So I don't even have to look at it if I'm just concerned about my area. You can sign up for every area too, but the point is you can get those emails sent to you when anything enters the application system. So you'll have, so right now what you have to do is go into Acela and you have to go to a technical school for several years to figure out how to operate Acela and then figure it's really hard. And this will be so easy for people to see what's happening. Regarding the transition, so December 1st of the day, but just to make everybody we already have lots of applications that we're processing that are regulated by the existing code. So what you're going to be seeing in December, January, February, at least, at our Planning and Zoning Commission, the City Council, and Design Review Commission, and Historic Preservation Commission, are cases that are based on the existing ordinance, the 1966 version. We'll still have hearings on those through February. We think it may actually go beyond that into March and maybe even April. So, but we know that we'll have new code cases that will so that planning zoning at DRC and at HPC, we will start having new code cases in March. So that's what we're preparing for. So for instance, with Design Review Commission, if you're operating under the new code, you can't get to the Design Review Commission until March for a hearing. So anybody that's got a bigger project that would be needing that knows that and might be the best place to say this. So just any construction that you see going on in the calendar year 2024 is based on the existing ordinance that we have right now, obviously, the way construction works. Now, there could be some smaller scale, let's say type 2 things, that late in 2024 you start seeing built, like somebody doing an ADU or a duplex on an R1 lot. Okay, maybe late in 2024 you see that. But the construction, the more substantial construction you'll see in 2024 will be based on the existing code. You won't see any construction of any big scale from the new code until 2025. It just takes that long, obviously, that's the construction schedule. You will see, however, some important big things coming through the process, and I'll mention a few. So, for instance, the College of Western Idaho bought that property downtown at Main Street and Whitewater. That's one that will be zoned in the new ordinance, but they'll have to go to the Design Review Commission. So you'll see that happening, but that's just approval. It won't be in the construction. The ICD property on State Street that has just, or is under contract to be sold, that will have to be rezoned because intentionally in this new ordinance, we didn't zone it. We left it what it was, so the new owner is going to have to come through a public process to get it rezoned. So early in 2024, there'll be a rezoning process that will go all the way to City Council. So that's a big one to see. And then there's Capitol Campus, which is on a city-owned property and Boise State-owned property there on Capitol across from the university. The whole block we're working together on to build affordable housing and a mixed-use thing, a little bit of BSU space in there. That will go through its design review in 2024 as well. Those are bigger scale, but they won't start construction until 2025. So anything we see in construction in 2024, especially in the new code, is going to be a relatively small scale. I'm just saying that so you know, if you don't like something that's happening in 2044, it's the old code, not the new one. 2025. We've got some more meetings coming up next week on Tuesday at the Collister Library and then Hillcrest after Thanksgiving. We've got some ongoing work sessions with our board. We were at City Council last night. John was the last one. And that may be the end of the presentation. So with that, I can get into more detail, or Crystal and Lena can help in terms of questions you have about this, or
Put the slide up that has the type of what's the type 2 applications that will list.
So where is the is there a line where 2A versus 2B?
No, we need a graphic to show you.
Under a type 2 administrative is just to recognize that depending on the project, it could be something that really would benefit from that interdepartmental review. Something like an allowed use allowed form, that might be a likely candidate, but really it could be anything under a type 2. It just depends on the context of the site.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. The first is about it looks like there are going to be some tweaks at the end of November that are going to be submitted to City Council. So what are those things? And then tracking and evaluating the new code for sort of reevaluation in December, what sorts of things are you planning to track? Are you tracking affordable housing?
Yeah.
What sorts of things are you planning to assess?
On the first question, we actually included that the last night with those amendments.
Oh.
And so it literally, you know, it was like 18 pages of edits, and 17.8 of those 18 pages were literally spelling, grammatical changes. We had cases where we were fixing some references to different sections in the ordinance.
formatting kinds of stuff. The two, the only two things that I'd even mention outside of that, one was we realized once we started preparing that in the code that we had, we have something called adult and child daycare centers. They're small, there's medium, and there's large. And so with the small ones, if I say something wrong here, let me know, but I think with the small ones, we mistakenly have, in the existing ordinance, you're allowed to do a small daycare center in an R1 district, provided you have a conditional use permit. And in the new code, we realized, we forgot to put a C in the table of uses for R1 for small daycare centers, so that was a mistake. We should have been like it is today. And then with regard to MX districts that we have mistakenly, we have MX districts now, or they're not MX, they're C districts, but like downtown Boise, where with regard to front setbacks, these are places where we want density and pedestrian design and transit-oriented design. We have zero setback on the front, of course, for that, of all of the downtown. But in the new code, we put it at 5, so we put that back to 0. Those are the two most substantial things. So that was it. So that happened last night. And then the second question, we've got, yes, the answer is somebody want to talk about the dashboard, or I can, but we've got a whole host of things that we're going to start tracking. And the first thing on the list is how are the incentives doing in terms of achieving affordable housing and sustainable practices? So this is the thing that we're most attuned to be judging the quality of this ordinance based upon. So when we're reporting to council, and you all know that it takes time to get things going. It's not like out of the gate we're going to get dozens of things. But we are going to get in this mode of tracking the affordability that's coming from this ordinance, tracking the sustainable practices that are coming from it, and reporting on that quarterly. Such that when we go back to council, if we need to, I feel like we probably will, next December of 2024, with any amendments, we've got the research associated with where I'm going. So we actually work with multiple state departments on a whole list of metrics that we base messages on, and that's what we report.
Thanks for putting it all together. Awesome. Just real quick, did I miss an MX2 zone? Is there an MX2
zone? There is an MX2 zone. Okay. I didn't. It's kind of boring.
I think it's changed. It's the least change from our current commercial zoning. So it's not added as much because it's pretty similar to it now.
Similar to C2.
Okay.
There's not much of it though, right? I mean, what do we have? One thing about that on Broadway though, is we have these, so, but there's MX3 on Broadway too, because activities kind of identified. So you have the intersections and the commercial around it, which are MX3, and then in between is the
MX3.
It's just kind of conventional commercial where you might see just a regular drugstore with a certain parking lot.
But you're basically calling you change it to MX because it's not just commercial, it's a mix.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
All of them are. Yeah.
So you
have one on the
That's fine. The interdepartmental review, I know we've had trouble with this a lot with the things going through planning or through historic getting approvals and then zoning getting approvals and going to the building department. And like, you can't build that close to property, you need your building code.
Right.
But interdepartmental review includes those All right, and then I actually have one more. Regarding parking, so we're not going to be providing or requiring any parking for buildings that have fire. People are still going to drive. So is the city going to be considering parking for the airport, or are we going to cap that parking and that's it?
Well, I think the expectation is that you will definitely continue to see parking to build. That not requiring parking in the MS5 really doesn't mean that there won't be parking there. It just means that the public, the city, won't be requiring. So, but you know, in most cases, people are going to build parking because they can't lease their space without parking. And then CPDC is working now, you know, on additional opportunities for parking strategically, especially before developments happen. Still, it's just going to be done in a more coordinated fashion. An example, I think, is a really good one, is the area around 6th and 5th and from certainly from the Main, where you had one parking deck built, and then you had multiple buildings in those blocks that use that parking deck. So you've got multiple buildings that have zero parking, and they share this one parking deck. I mean, it really helps the vitality of the street. You know, you don't have all these parking garages everywhere. And so that's where CCDC is wanting to do things kind of in collaboration with people, so we're being a little more thoughtful about where they are. But the big hope, of course, is that we're going to transition from less surface parking to where we have parking. It's embedded in the middle of the block. You don't see it.
I have a question for everyone. Who all here is a neighborhood association? That's important to someone. Neighborhood association. Cool. I'm too, not that neighborhood. You have parking issues up there all the time, I guess. There's applications trying to eliminate parking. We've talked about this one before. I know it's like the intent of the code to totally eliminate parking for houses because people are still going to use their car to ski and they're going to need somewhere to store their boat or their tools or their skis or stuff like that. So, what is the people and developers that are going to try to eliminate parking in those zones, not in the five zones?
Well, I mean, we still have parking requirements. So, we didn't eliminate parking requirements anywhere except for downtown. So, there was discussion of that, as you know, Eric, you were probably there when there was debates at the public hearings about you didn't go far enough on the parking elimination or reduction, and then the others that thought we needed more parking. So it was kind of all over the place. We ended up in a place where the only place we eliminated is this downtown. We did reduce the off-street parking requirement for a single house or a duplex and that kind of thing from 2 spaces per unit to 1 space per unit, so there's a reduction there. And then within, we do have some maximum parking for certain uses in the MX zones. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. The direction was to get the government out of requiring as much parking, and we certainly took a step in that direction, especially with downtown. But we're expecting we're going to continue to see, you know, parking built off street. In those places, we're going to have places where it's tight, like you're describing. Talking about the truck in front of the house, but we're going to continue to have to work on those kinds of things. There's not a world in which we don't. I mean, under any circumstance, regardless of what you're running, we work through these issues. But I think it's an important thing to check in on a year later with City Council, December 1st of 2024. Because all this is so important. You know, the thing about it, I mentioned this quickly at the beginning, but we really do want us as communities to become experts in a different kind of growth. You know, to try to avoid some of these big problems that have so, you know, defined cities in this country. I mean, we talk about it. Boise's opportunity is to not be the last city in America to destroy America.
in the process of growing. We do that. Well, it requires us to kind of grow within ourselves, and we're not experts in that yet. And so we want to keep what we're working on and get better and better, and we think this is a step in the right direction. Yeah.
So, is there a plan, a transportation plan, to include public transportation that is working in coordination with the
town? Very much. A big part of this. In the BRT, we work closely with them, and with the, their involvement in this was a big part of it. So State Street, obviously, the community, the city's been working on this for a while. Improvements have been made. More are coming. There's a significant grant from the federal government that's going to improve the service on State Street. But on Vista and Fairview, there's also there's good rides for that. It can get better. And they know that, and they're working on it. Part of making that realize so we really, BRT is working hard to get more Meridian involvement in that one, but they're already thinking about where could we have some other MX4 locations. Where are those main stops going to be on Fairview? We're really going to have frequent service, and it's going to be a big transfer point for people on the bus. So working very closely with them, and we do see the MX involvement evolving hopefully relatively quickly, so it gets better and better where we can find other places. And Broadway is an example of that. Broadway is an example of it. There's some Overland has some potential. It's just they're still studying those streets. We know in the case of Vista, Fairview, and State, that's where the investment is going to be better served. Yes?
What's going on with the updated zoning code have anything to do with the loss of lanes on Fairview and Main downtown? Eliminated a traffic lane and installed a bus stop in the road. And so is that a part of this zoning code? Are these transit hubs that you're talking about going to be similar to that, where we're removing traffic lanes in order to put in bus stops?
Yeah, so the stuff that's already happened on Main, I guess it's Main downtown, really, although there's none of that. That happened a while ago, but what they're looking at on State Street, first of all, State Street's been something called bus traffic transit, BRT, which is intended to be buses working in their own lanes, so they're not in the traffic, and so they're working through the design of that. But ideally, the bus is going to be in a separate lane from where the cars are. The buses have a dedicated space, so they're moving even more things. That's the goal. And they're looking at how best to design those main docks that I had on the map. But I want to say something general about those, because it's to your point, and a place like Fairview is a really good example of this. Is we know from experience from other cities, again, that if we accommodate the car primarily, in some cases only, and that's where Boise can get in serious trouble, like everyone else. I mean, we really have to figure out how do we invest in a transportation system, which is why we think this MX3 is so important. Where, imagine if all the growth happens in this region and in the city, And everybody that comes has to drive 100% of the time. We can give up it. We're done. I mean, this place is any valley in the West, you name it. There's some big ones like Phoenix. There's some smaller ones. We're that. We're in that category. So go see that traffic. Congratulations. If we do that, that's what happens. 100% of the time. If we don't, and we say, listen, we got to have people, you know, 25-30% of the people that can drive half as much. If every household generates 10 car trips a day, we're never going to get them. We need it to be 8 or 7 or 6 car trips a day. Now we're doing something on congestion. It's counterintuitive, but to give all the space to cars on the streets is what got everybody in the trouble they're in. See Los Angeles for the far end of the spectrum. So that's the point at which Boise is the problem is we got to get the land use right first and put the people where they need to be and where the density is helpful. And if we do that, then we can hope to have a good transit system where our streets aren't just clogged with traffic and everybody's stuck being in that traffic. Everybody for every. So the point of that really just is keep an open mind about who came to the streets, because there's a bigger move at foot here, which is around that environment of people happily choosing to walk or ride transit or use their bike for some things, for something. You know, so that, because you won't do it unless it's safe and enjoyable, and that's what we got to be careful about. So there's, this will take time, but I'm, that one you mentioned, so I don't need to do the zoning ordinance, but in places like State Street, you'll see things happen, and it's just to keep an open mind about it, I think. Mm-hmm. Patricia, did you have?
Yeah, and to that point on State Street, that plane started over 20 years ago, and that involved BCA, all the county, everybody. So the thing with transit is, you know, it's like, it's finally happening. The plans have been there, and it's a money issue, but the land is critical. But because I have found myself now in dealing with historic preservation more than I have, and I love it. I find that just a recommendation for the interdepartmental review. We had a couple of cases in Southeast of one of the National Register sites, things that aren't in districts, and we find that there's not a connection with HPC or transmittal to the preservation plan. It's kind of a volunteer track.
Takes between training staff, our commissions,
for the community, yeah. We could have used a couple extra months, but here we are. Coming from a place of recognizing that as planners and working in different kinds of public service, we're having conversations all the time with neighbors, with each other, about like the things that we know need to happen and about the reasons why it's not happening. And so this is really a big step for us that we're all kind of taking together and like really committing that it's like we really think that we're trying to take the first step to say, we know this is going to keep changing and shifting over time, but like we put all of our expertise and our work into it. And so like, here's the first step. Come on, ACHD and ITV and every, come along with us, you know? I mean, that's huge. And that's, like Tim had mentioned, I mean, that's, it's actually like a lifetime of work. So in our heads, it's like, oh, it'll be over December 1st, job done. And we know that that's not true. So that's kind of a lot, but feel good too.
You all both have great answers. I mean, I think what keeps me up at night is just, I hope everybody remembers that we are part of this community too. We live here, we want to make this place the best it can be, and that it's humbling to be a professional and then have a whole new code that you have to like turn on like that.
One final question. So, you know, Fred and I are on the team of board, so if we see something, is there going to be like an email address that we can like shoot the information, or just some way so we don't have to bug the staff that we can just like transmit it over?
So we have zoning info available, and maybe we use that or we can
What is that? What do you mean?
It's just zoninginfo@cityofboise.org.
Yeah.
And it usually gets offshot then to whatever department or planner or whatever is appropriate. We've also talked about a feedback form too.
This is more just an ongoing,
yeah.
Me, if I don't deal with it right away.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Really
thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Not like splinters. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh. We didn't take the van. Oh, no.
But she was like fabulous work history with
the
city and
planning
and all around.
I'm just gonna follow you.
Yeah.
Oh,
isn't it nice?
What was the tag pin it was?
Yeah.
You want to handle that?
We were at the last meeting. Yeah.
You know,
so,
there's so many things. It's a definite.
Take care, too.
Was yours modular housing?
Yeah.
How's your roof work along on that?
They didn't really take that up, you know. The Entrepreneur Week group. We were working on it separately, but we had given them that as an idea, and they didn't really take it up. Because
I think what's her name? Dan's aunt, or you know the.
Jessica.
Yeah, not Jessica. Well, The venture college.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of her name, but she said that. I asked her which of the 15 projects got taken, and she said that one did get taken.
I wasn't aware of that. I don't think it was. Somebody might have taken it, but then changed their mind.
They filled the paperwork.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why is because there's a lot of.
I think it was too much to take.
Yeah, I might. Possibly get with y'all on it because there's stuff that's kind of in my area on that. I was asking her, Van Zandt, that's her last name, you know, the director of Venture College.
Uh-huh.
And I was wanting to find out the group who did that, but I guess they're
young. Yeah, I think they backed out after this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we'll see you later.
Okay, take care.
Okay. Well, that, I just found out. Oh, okay. Okay, so, all right. Okay. And apparently the answer is nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's good news for me, okay?
Oh, it means there's nothing for you to do, or at least you don't have a pressure. Oh, that's okay.
I don't know if you remember me. I was talking
to you. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, remember I was telling you about the video?
I can't hear you. Wait till we get on the road. Can we wait till we get on the road? You pack up.
All right, we'll see you later.
Close that door better. You just like... That's better. Okay. Cool. Oh, I didn't know you were... I thought you were talking to me.
No, I was talking to her.
Oh, okay. All right. Didn't know that. That's,
Okay.
Lena Walker. She was one of the girls I talked to one-on-one on one of the meetings for about a half hour, you know. And she's the one who told me that...
Leave me out.
Shit. Oh, remember.
Okay.
I think that, because that's like, see there's street edge there, kind of. I thought I just saw some, or.
I don't know.
Kind of go, start going that way, maybe, or. There's, see this river walking.
Ooh, I have no idea which way to go.
Go straight, just.
Because I think I'm going completely the wrong way.
There's big lights. Well, look at your phone.
That's what, you wouldn't let me.
No, I did.
In the past, you've hated.
Okay, Robert, that's passed. I didn't do it this time. Please don't.
Okay, can I look at my phone while driving?
I said yes.
Okay. Are you okay?
No.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't let me. I was being. How can I be acceptance? You know, I can. You know, because it's not an active process. It's trying to be quiet. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that, and you were yelling at me for being quiet. Like just picked out persecution just out of it.
I'm gonna wait until you finish you.
Well, it's just that I was being as compliant as I could, but you were acting like I was doing something wrong, and I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, now just get out of here.
Okay.
Nobody on that project. One who you
read the email yesterday.
All right.
See, this is the thing I was telling you. See, it's the bar, or all the bars and stuff.
Yeah, this is the one that was right, but this is the modern one that I was thinking of. I thought that was somewhere else, because I thought we were going somewhere else.
Oh, this is weird. Okay. And then I'm going to do that a sharp hook.
That looks like a big street.
Well, I'm just following the blue line. Blue line
okay,
rules.
Okay, that's Park Center. That's the big street. That's the main vein.
Uh-huh.
The main vein.
Mm-hmm. Okay, heat. Okay, so I'm going to drop you off at your house. So if you have your van keys with you right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You didn't give them to me, right?
No.
Okay.
No, I just took them because I thought I was going to move the van, but I...
No, that's fine. Did you want to give me your phone or keep it?
I'll just keep it.
Okay.
I'll just look around and see if I got all the wires I need. I don't know if I have those or not. Or I don't remember.
Look on my desk between my desk and the shelf behind you. Okay. Now, is your new computer your favorite computer, or are you still like the other?
No. There's some funny things that are going on.
Okay, one funny thing at a time. Just one funny thing at a time.
It's on a sticky note. I don't know where it's at. I just
okay.
Two things kind of came up and.
All right, we'll worry about it when we get home.
Yeah.
Okay.
So apparently you had some complications, you know, and some stuff.
No, once I got past the Windows installation thing.
They're not major stuff, but they're just kind of.
Then there was no complication. Once I got what happened was. I put in a Windows 10 disk, and then I punched in, you know, one of the three, you know, golden ID numbers that I thought would work, and it said, can't have it, and I just typed it in, can't have it.
Now I remember, I can't put, okay, I went to, like, C drive to try to put a directory, you know, usually, you know, like, in File Explorer, you can put folders. This one, it won't let you do that. It just, the thing will keep spinning and spinning and spinning. And so,
weird.
And I tried it again, and I just got frustrated.
Oh, you needed to create a directory off of C drive?
Yeah, and I just, hey, Robert, that's not the point of why I did that. It's just, so don't do that, Robert.
Okay, I want you to be able to recreate the problem the best you can, and then we'll see what's wrong.
Well, I could do it in DOS. It is just like immediate, you know.
I know you can do it in DOS. Yeah, but you're wanting to work in Windows, so yeah. We need to get that working. So we got to see what's wrong.
Yeah.
And it may be just that this is a newer version. Do you have the spanking newest version of Windows 10? Okay? And if they made changes to the user interface, you know, that's you had to get used to it. Because I do notice
it's supposed to
computer
work.
Is different.
No, because I chose right-click, new folder.
Okay, show me. Well, we're going to stop by, and you're going to show me.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You'll see it. Probably not going to do it. Okay, so I don't have any. I didn't get my damn darts. But that's a good thing, because that's just too much for darts.
I bet you they would have gone over 100.
Well, all I know is on this, okay, the second set of darts I got, I don't know if you remember, but I got them in a box, right?
Okay.
And
I know the boxes themselves, they sell on eBay.
I think I paid $60 for the box of darts.
And then you said that the boxes on eBay are kind of, you know, surprisingly expensive.
40.
Yeah.
For the just darts.
Yep.
Because I can't sell darts.
I imagine those people who are buying the boxes already own the darts. There's no reason to own a box without darts. So those who are buying, paying the money, own the darts, and they want to, they want their cred because it's like illegal.
Yeah. I got the darts, so.
Because I noticed that lawn darts was brought up just in a public political argument.
Huh?
You know.
Recently or?
Yes. This week. Uh-huh. Yep. Basically, you know, why is it that, you know, you can have, you know, a 50 caliber magazine, but you can't have lawn darts?
That's green light.
I'm just confused to where I'm at. Okay. Hold the wheel.
Probably hit downtown.
No, just stay in my lane.
Right, just drive.
Let go of the wheel.
I know. I that's what I did.
Yeah, okay.
Look, we're going into town, okay?
All right, we're good.
Next time, ask if I can hold the wheel, okay? Don't say hold.
I thought you
said hold the wheel or else we're going to get in an accident.
I didn't know you couldn't hold the wheel. I'm sorry. Okay, that's okay. I won't ever ask you to hold the wheel again.
No, you will ask, but you won't say, you won't demand. You demanded, hold the wheel.
Richard, that's the way we ask each other all the time.
No.
That's, hold the wheel. You ask it, it doesn't matter. It's just, that's okay. The way we ask.
Okay, all right, okay. Could you just lay off while I'm tired?
Okay.
Wow, downtown's starting to look more like Las Vegas.
How so?
Just the neon lights on.
Yeah, that'd be gross. I don't want that. Okay, so I can go straight.
Hey, Robert, put the fucking phone down.
No, I'm fine.
You're downtown. You know where you're at. If you don't need, I can direct you home.
Well, then direct me home.
Give me the phone.
No, I'm holding onto the phone.
Or put it up. Twice you almost hit the wall.
I didn't hit the wall. I didn't even get close to it. I'm aware of what I'm doing. Oh, we're on front, so we're good. So you can take your jacket off?
No. It's not a jacket heat, it's just overall heat. Like my face, okay?
No, this.
I said my face!
You said
I don't have anything on my face. I can't rip the skin off my face to make it cooler, okay?
Oh, your face is hot. I didn't know you said your face was hot. I said face
three times.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. Okay.
I didn't know you said my face was hot.
That's why anytime.
Because it's a weird thing to say. I wasn't expecting it. Okay? I wasn't really paying attention. I'm sorry.
If you'd want me to stop blowing up, just stop being an asshole, okay?
the fucking phone down.
No, I just wanted to know if
you're
I had
going
to,
around a curve and yes. you're holding a phone.
Yes.
I'm going to throw that thing out the window. You hide. You throw it in the back.
Richard, I am never going to crash holding on the phone. So don't worry about it.
You were
I've always got
at
it.
And you're going. No, I don't know.
I know.
That.
I was.
I can't relax. I'm stressed out when you do that.
I was.
I told you. I never did like you driving. You pull over and let me drive.
You said.
Pull over and let me drive.
No, I'm in the in my pocket right now because I wanted to just check to see if when you said I'm not going to bring it up.
That's why I drive. I didn't want to drive here, but I did that anyways because I do not like, you know, when you drive and use the phone.
I will never have an accident
I told,
with the phone.
Robert, that's not the point.
What is the point?
It just, it's very unnerving for, you know, to me to watch that. And now you're being an asshole, selfish asshole.
How so? Right now? Right
yes.
now?
Yes. Yes, because I said of a problem, and instead of trying to address it, you instead of putting the phone away, you know, you just keep looking at the phone, and you know that it pisses me off.
I needed one piece of information, and I needed it.
What is it? Tell me. It better be fucking important. What is it? Call over and get your information. Just go in the street.
I got the information. I got it already. The recorder is still going all this time. So when you talk about my face was hot, I want to see where I fucked up. If I fucked up, you got the Dwight moment, okay? You got your Dwight, maybe.
Robert, shut up. You are arguing right now. And right now
You asked me.
Okay, could you stop right now? Because I am getting violent. Do I have to say that?
No. I'm quiet.
No, because I've been screaming and you still didn't recognize me.
I will be quiet for the rest of the way. I won't say a word. You'll see. Whoa, please.
Robert. You need to pay for what you did.
Okay, can we?
I had a very tough day, and you started
you
off.
You said you had a good day.
When we got out of the meeting, I was trying to be compliant, but you started laying into me.
About what?
About the past, about how I always, You know, I can't use my phone because you wouldn't let me use phone. I didn't say that.
And I apologize for that. I goofed up.
No, you didn't know is a your Bob apology. You just...
Okay, what does a non-Bob apology sound like?
Okay,
stop. Stop.
You
want
to argue?
Please. Stop. Stop.
No.
Stop. Please stop. Please.
Robert, you said you'd comply, and you started arguing. Did you know you did that?
Yes, I fucked up. I fucked up again. I fucked up again.
I'm busting this window out.
Please don't.
I'll wait till you stop, and
please,
then I'm busting.
Please
and
don't.
And you're going to have to find another
window.
No,
please don't.
Okay, what are you going to do instead?
Please don't. Just please don't. I'm going to be quiet for the rest
of
the trip.
No, that's what you said, and you argued, and you know I had less sleep than you. You got to fucking sleep.
Please.
No. Okay, if you hold on to me, you're going to get me mad. And I don't care if you use this against me tomorrow, because I know you fucking will. And I hope the fuck you do. No, I'm just gonna bust that big window out of my house. Cause I need to show you that I have problems, okay? And you don't understand it, and you've never addressed it. All you did was just look at your fucking viewing history. 8 hours a day just fucking around while I'm working my ass off.
Robert, just this way.
I don't want to go that
go
way.
Go home.
Okay. Please, 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 please.
I'm just rolling down the window, okay? You do mind? Because I'm burning up.
I understand that.
Apparently, he had some important things going on today because I was working my ass off and I really could have used her help. And I've been asking for
help.
Are
you talking about the painting?
Everything. Yeah. I've been asking all week, could you please, you know, cut down your screen time and help me out?
Okay.
But you choose. That's why you're an asshole, and you need to be punished, and I'm gonna punish you big time. When we get home. Now you just drop me off home. You call the cops.
No. I'm not calling any. I think I trust that you aren't going to like need the cops.
And did I tell you that I was 2 days without my medication?
Three days.
And did I tell you that I had very little sleep?
Yes.
And did I tell you that I drank a hell of a lot of coffee?
Yes.
And did I tell you that I was worked my ass off today while you did like 1/10 of the work I did?
Yes. I'm sorry.
That's not genuine. Hey, you're just lying to me. You're going to go into your persecution mode and says, I was up all night last night the way you acted and all that shit, Ola. Because I'm going to bust things, and you can't watch, and you can't stay with me all the time. And this time, it's going to be big. Because I think it's going to be cost $2,000, but it'll get your attention. And it'll be fucking worth it, okay?
Okay, can we have a talk first before you
no,
do that?
No, I'm going to bust $2,000 worth of shit. Because talk does no good. You don't pay attention. You're mindless. You're aloof. You're stupid. You're just a little kid, and I tried to give you the respect of an adult, and I get punished for it.
Okay, so here's what.
Because whenever I try to work things out, all you do is argue and find faults in my little presentations or whatever I do to you to try to make both of us better people.
Okay, so here's what I want to do tonight, okay? Is I want to fully understand more than I do. I want to fully understand, just in case I don't fully understand. I want to like have a mind meld with you, okay?
I can't. I think once I break 2,000, I think dollars worth of stuff you'll understand. You will understand then.
Okay, now can we go through this one exercise? And if you go through the exercise right, then the breaking the $2,000 could possibly be a way forward. So let's think about this. So okay, so let's just. Can I drive around for a little bit, please?
No, take me home. Drop me home. And now it's going to be $10,000 worth.
Oh, what did I do wrong? Because I'm not arguing. I made a request.
No. You just got me so burned up. It's actually right. Temperature's rising. Okay. So congratulations. If that's what you wanted, you certainly got it.
Oh, okay. Can I? Can I?
I have to get your attention, and I haven't got your attention in years, and you just don't understand it.
I stopped arguing. You asked me to stop arguing.
Oh, congratulations. You're not even listening to me.
Okay.
Hey, still, man, what I just said.
You said you're going to break a whole bunch of stuff to get my attention.
No, I said I'm raised. My anger is going up.
Yes.
And you didn't. You're not even listening. Just take me home.
Okay. I'm gonna just do the best I can.
Your work to how it affects you and not me, that's a very limited way of doing it. And that's a selfish way of doing it.
I'm listening.
I've heard this so many times, and you're just lying to me. And tomorrow you're just going to go back, and I'm going to see your viewing history, and it's going to be the same, and next day and next day, okay?
What if it isn't? Would you, if the next 2 days I don't have, like, if my viewing history is totally different, like it shows that I'm trying to help you, would that freak you out? Or
TD or whatever. It's just that you're just.
No, what if I demonstrate that I want to help you, like I show action, would that freak you out?
If it was just like beyond surface charge.
Yeah, okay. I understand you do. Uh-huh. Okay. So I will go beyond surface charge. If I go beyond surface charge, would that work? If I go beyond surface charge. And what I mean by surface charge is I do real research.
Because you're incapable of doing that. You don't even know what I want because you don't even pay attention. You know, and I told you, and you go dumbfound.
No.
Dumbfound.
We took care of that. I created a
okay.
A sticky note, and that has what you want. That was my effort at that. And I want to continue that. And I want to hear everything that you want, and I want it all in that one note, because so far everything so far has been put there.
No, there's actually another one there with the two after. Did you notice it?
Okay, we'll marry them together.
Why don't you just go open up your sticky note and look at the one with the two after.
Okay, can I put them both together in one file? I know this is a very horrible idea right now, but you want a beer. Huh? All right.
Are you going to split one too?
Yes. Okay, split it up.
Now you're getting smart, because you know that I like drinking beer and you don't.
Have any here?
There are three of them.
Okay, there are three orange ones. Did you want to like do walk around the block while we do that, or is it too cold?
No, I just want to get shorts.
Here's shorts, or no?
Sure. I'll buy them. They're right here.
It's just like today when I was going painting, normally probably 2 or 3 months ago, you would have said, oh, he's showboating and he's Larry, and I hate when he does that, you take good work that I do and you turn it around and make it bad.
So you're saying, and you may be right. So I'm still recording all this. So this is good.
Now,
so
Robert, stop recording, Ralph.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording.
Because that's just something you're going to use it against me.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording.
Because I'm going to say things that are bad. Okay?
Yeah, I'm going to stop
and
recording.
You're going to use it against me.
Okay.
And,